The following is an excerpt from the Science Magazine podcast. To hear the whole show, visit www.sciencemag.org and click on Science Podcast.
Now, David Graham, Science's online news editor, is here with a wrap-up of some of the latest science news, including a story about how your blood holds clues to your birthday. Something about the blood itself, Dave?
Well, something about the cells in the blood. These are your T cells, which are your immune cells, or at least part of your immune defense system. These are the cells that help the body recognize invaders and help the body attack these invaders and get rid of them. But T cells do something really interesting. T cells have to recognize a whole variety of threats. Can you imagine all of the bacteria and microbes and everything else you encounter on a daily basis? Well, all of those things look very different to the body. And for the T cell to be able to recognize it, it has to create a variety of different proteins on its surface, which are called receptor proteins, to help it recognize these invaders. And to do that, the T cells basically chop up a bunch of their DNA and recombine it. And by recombining it, they create all these different types of proteins that they then put on their cell surface.
So the more proteins that they have on their cell surface, the older they are?
Well, not quite. It turns out when these T cells are chopping up all their DNA to make these proteins, there's a lot of DNA left over, and it forms these little DNA circles in the cell that are basically cellular garbage. They just sort of hang around, but they're pretty much useless to the cell. Well, it turns out as you get older, you have fewer and fewer T cells, which means you have fewer and fewer of these little garbage DNA circles. And now a team of researchers has found a correlation between the number of these DNA circles you have and how old you are. Basically, the fewer circles you have, the older you are.
And how good is this correlation? How closely can they guess someone's age based on these circles and T cells?
Well, they can guess your age to about 9 years, plus or minus 9 years. Now, that may not seem like a lot, but what the researchers are really hoping in terms of applications for this research are forensic applications. You can imagine detectives finding blood at a crime scene, and they need to narrow down their suspect pool. And maybe some of their suspects are in their 50s and 60s, and some of the other suspects are in their 20s and 30s. Well, even though this blood test is only accurate to about 9 years, it can very easily tell you whether somebody's, say, in their 20s and 30s versus being in their 50s or 60s. So it can help researchers, or it could help detectives, determine what generation a person is based on a blood sample.
And police find that helpful, it sounds like.
Well, they do, because, you know, if you watch detective shows, it seems like police have so many tools at their disposal. They can look at DNA, and they can do all these other things at the crime scene. They can look at fingerprints. But things like DNA and fingerprints only help if you've got something to compare it to. If you've already got a suspect, or if you've got a database, a DNA or a fingerprint database to match it to. But what if you've just got a blood sample and you have no idea how to match it up? Again, this isn't going to tell you exactly who the blood came from, but it does help police narrow things down. And so it could be another important tool in their toolbox.
Okay. Well, thanks, Dave. So what other stories have you brought with you this week?
Well, Rob, speaking of blood, this next story is about how tumors create their own blood supply. Now, we already know that part of the reason tumors are so successful, unfortunately, in the body is because they're actually able to recruit blood to themselves. It's a process known as angiogenesis. Basically, what happens is if a tumor starts getting really big, it needs a lot more nutrients. And in order to do that, it sends out all of these growth factors, which prompts the body to create more blood vessels around the tumor, send more blood to the tumor, and the tumor grows. So researchers already knew that that happened. What's different here is researchers have found that the tumor itself can turn into blood vessels. So parts of the tumor can actually morph into blood vessels, thereby creating their own supply of blood. They don't have to have the body create blood vessels for them. They can make their own.
Does this new understanding help with efforts to try and cut the tumor's blood supply off?
Well, it does, because there's actually a lot of drugs out there, so-called anti-angiogenesis drugs, that are designed to cut off the tumor's blood supply. And the problem is that a lot of these drugs stop working after a few months, and researchers really couldn't figure out why. And this study may explain that, because what it indicates is that even if you cut off the body's healthy blood vessels that are connecting the tumor just goes around and says, well, that's fine. You cut off my supply. I'm just going to make my own blood vessels. And that is something that seems to be skirting the effectiveness of these drugs. And so the researchers suggest that perhaps in the future, these anti-angiogenesis therapies be combined with an anti-stem cell therapy. They think it's these tumor stem cells in the tumor that are actually creating these blood supplies. So not only do you cut off the body's blood supply, but you prevent the tumor from creating its own blood vessels, and maybe that 1-2 punch would actually be enough to kill the tumor.
Okay. So last story, what's this last one about?
Well, Rob, from tumors surrounding themselves with blood vessels to our sun being surrounded by its siblings, this last story is about trying to find the sun's long-lost brothers and sisters.
Why are researchers trying to do that?
Well, Robert, this all has to do with trying to figure out how our solar system formed. There was probably some unique properties of our sun that allowed that to happen. But only by comparing our sun to other highly related suns can we test that hypothesis. The trick is, can we actually find these 1,000 or so stars that our sun was born with?
I imagine it's quite a challenge with the enormous number of stars in our galaxy. What tools are researchers using to find the siblings of our sun?
Well, they don't have a lot to work with. What researchers think happened is about 4.6 billion years ago, the sun and hundreds of other stars were born in this localized cluster of stars, and then gradually over time they spread out. The best researchers can do to try to understand what happened there is to create simulations. And about a couple of years ago, a researcher did create a simulation on a computer that tried to figure out where all these stars would go over billions of years. And what he found was, according to his simulation, there was somewhere between 10 and 60 of these stars would still be hanging around in our cosmic neighborhood. And they would actually be able to be so close that you could theoretically see them with binoculars in the night sky. And that gave astronomers some hope that, hey, some of these solar siblings are not too far away and they could be fairly easily studied. But a new study has just come out that says, wait a minute, these stars are not going to be as easy to find as this one astronomer said they were. What this new group did was they also used computer simulations, but their computer simulations were a lot more advanced. They took into account a lot of the complex gravity that occurs in the Milky Way. The Milky Way's spiral arms actually exert a lot of gravity on stars that can sort of toss them to and fro. And what they found is that even under the best case scenario, there might only be 3 or 4 solar siblings within 330 light years of Earth. That's pretty far away, and that's not very many siblings. And you're talking about finding these guys among the enormous number of stars that are out there in the Milky Way.
So suppose they identify some target star they think that might be a solar sibling. Any way to confirm that?
Well, one way to confirm that would be to see if these stars have very similar chemical properties, if they're the same class of star as our sun. That would be a good clue. But one expert says that's not even enough. He says there's a lot of stars out there that actually are very similar to our sun, have very similar properties, but are in no way related. And he thinks this is a bit of a fool's errand to go around looking for these solar siblings.
So you can tell whether they're not related that way.
Well, that's a tough question, Rob. But as the original researcher says, the scientist that a couple of years ago first made this claim that we could find these solar siblings, he thinks it is still worth looking for these relatives of our sun because of what they could tell us about how we got here in the first place.
Okay. Well, thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Rob.
So what other stories are you looking into for the site?
Well, Rob, for Science Now, we've got a story about an obesity epidemic that goes beyond humans. It extends to our domestic animals and even to the laboratory rats. And also a story about a light-bending black hole that may offer clues to extra dimensions in the universe. And on Science Insider, Science's policy site, we've got a story about BP's relationship with scientists now and what it was during the spill. Looks like there was some cooperation, but also a bit of contention. And also a story about a new trial to test the efficacy of embryonic stem cells for treating disease. So be sure to check out all of these stories on the site.
David Grimm is the online news editor of Science. You can check out the latest science news, plus all the stories on the science policy blog, Science Insider, at news.sciencemag.org.